That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow,
morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Got our coffee? Hey, the Wranglers are here. Got our Bibles. And we say good morning to you, the remnant, and good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And we, again, good morning to you, the remnant. Good morning to you, Jesus. Thank you for that beautiful sunrise. Boy, we have got a baby blue Wyoming sky today that is just as beautiful as it gets. And we hope you're enjoying this beautiful morning as well. It is Saturday, April 11th, 2015. And we do thank you for joining us. And we'll open up with a word of prayer. Jason, would you open us up, and then we'll kind of go from there.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and we thank you for this day that you've given us. And we just pray on that full armor of God, having done everything to stand firm. We gird our loins with truth. We put on the breastplate of righteousness. We shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We put on the helmet of salvation. We pick up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And we pray and petition for the saints. We pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Grant to us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts. We forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever and ever. We pray, Father, that you deliver us from the conspiracies of men, the schemes of the devil, all the forces that come against us. We pray that you guide us and direct us in all that we do. Bless our hands and the labors that we do, Father. We pray that you strengthen us and encourage us. Give us wisdom and knowledge and understanding and courage. And Father, we just thank you for the remnant across this land, Father. You know who they are and you know what their needs are, Father. And we do ask that you tend to their each and every need, Father. We pray, we thank you for this time of year, this springtime, and we're grateful for that. Father, we just pray that you let it be a prosperous, blessed season. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Somebody's somebody's got their phone still on, but that's all right. Well, again, a beautiful
it's
morning.
Background sound effects.
Yeah, there we go. How about that? And anyway, well, lots going on. Hey, it's springtime. Want to let you know, newsletter volume 3, I think, is hot on the presses. Got through that, getting it all put together and proofed, and it is being printed right now. Usually takes us about a week to print that and then get it into the mail. So we ask you to keep that in your prayers. It's always interesting. It's going better with these new printers, that's for sure. That's there and done, and we'll have first part of next week. We'll have that emailed out to all those that get the Dragon Slayer newsletter via email. And we're working on a new format on that email. You've seen it the last couple of months, and so that takes a little more work, but we'll be putting that together and getting that out to you. I'm hoping Monday afternoon, but should be Tuesday at the latest. So we'll be getting that out to you. That's newsletter volume 3, and it has to do, the main article and the secondary article, with the Passover. Now, one article, it talks really about the Passover, and the other one, well, it sure ties in with it as well. So we know you're going to want to read those articles in there. The Passover was April 2nd. Hopefully you joined us at the LaPorte Church of Christ for that. If you weren't able to do that, the Passover is such an important day. It was several thousand years ago when it was instituted. When the children of Israel were walking through the desert, they kept it. And if they couldn't keep it on the original time, well, again, it was so important. They were instructed that they could keep it 30 days later in the second month. And so we put that out to you as well. There is still time. Again, if you didn't get to participate in the first Passover on April 2nd, you can go back a couple scripture verses, you can go back and read. Numbers 9:11 explains that you can keep it 30 days later. You can keep it on the second month. And then we encourage you to read 2 Chronicles chapter 30, because it tells of that very thing. It's a little bit later in our history, in the history of our people, but it tells of a reinstituting of the Passover and a keeping it in the second month. And it was pleasing to God that his people did that. And it was done in humility. It was done in sincerity. It wasn't just thrown together. And it was a blessing to his people. Now, it wasn't a blessing to all people, but it was a blessing to those that did what they were instructed to do. So we hope that you're led to do that. We've been keeping this since at least 2001, and I know we've talked in the past, and each and every one of us, and Pastor had spoken of it as well, had noticed the difference. Had noticed a difference, a growing, a drawing near to God in keeping this Passover. So we encourage you to do that. Again, Numbers 9:11, you can read there. It's biblical. There's several different places where they talk about it, but 2 Chronicles chapter 30 is a good chapter to read that also shows how they reinstituted it and had to keep it the second month. So again, Passover, we encourage you to keep that, and there's still time. The second Passover will be 30 days after the first one. The first one was April 2nd. The second Passover, the makeup Passover day, will be Saturday, May 2nd. So you still have a couple of weeks to prepare. If you're not familiar with this at all, you can call our office. You can go to the website, scriptures4america.org. We have free information there that you can read up on it. You can give us a call. Our office number during the week, 307-742-7582. Now, don't call it this morning because we're not in that part of the office. But if you have questions about the Passover, we'll be glad to. We just sent some last week out to Brother Jack in Pennsylvania. And so we'll be glad to send the teachings of the Passover out to you. Just get in touch with us. If you want to call this morning, 307-745-5913. And hopefully you're reading your Bibles. If you are, you're in 2 Samuel, and you're finishing 2 Samuel today and moving into Kings. So hopefully you're reading it and gaining a lot out of it. Well, guys, as my friend in South Africa says, who has English as a second language, part of the ministry, a white family, they've moved from Cape Town up to Mambia to escape some of the violence. He'll call sometimes, and he says, well, there's my 1,000 words. I'll talk to you later. So there's mine. I'll turn it over to you guys.
Well, I don't know. I've been watching a lot of this stuff. One of the things that's caught my attention is it wasn't that long ago that Obama and Biden, they were talking about, oh, prepare for the influx in... the influx on those that are going to start hitting the southern border, coming across the border. And, I remember when they were talking about that, I'm like, okay, what's going to make the difference? Why are they talking about, why is there going to be this influx? They were talking about another wave to hit the border. And I don't know what exactly took place to get it, to make it take place, but all of a sudden all these Guatemalans are coming across the border. Basically, the Border Patrol, they geared up for it. And, you know, it tells you when they gear up for something like that, if they have no idea how to stop something, if they have no idea, you know, supposedly how to stop something, if they have no idea where they're coming from or how they're getting there, but they know that they're going to have another wave hit the border, something else has got to be taking place behind the scenes. So they gear up for it, and next thing you know, they got these Guatemalans coming. Hitting the borders, coming across the border. And it's what's been interesting to me is I've looked at, tried to find as many pictures of these Guatemalans that I can online. A lot of these Border Patrol places, websites have pictures of them. And is what's interesting is a lot of them are children right now. They're 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old children that are coming across that they're finding coming across the desert there, you know, and we're talking, you know, thousands of miles from Guatemala. And interesting thing is they got brand new shoes on them, they got brand new clothes on them. You know, you can tell that they haven't been walking for miles. They were basically dropped off there, somewhere drastically close. They know right where they're going. And, it's obviously a setup, and you just wonder what you know. We know it's an invasion, it's an attack, but you wonder sometimes. It's like, how exactly does that work? I think one of the couple of things that I do recognize are taking place is, first of all, they're trying to get them into our school system. They're trying to get them into our medical system. They come in. They bring sickness, they bring disease with them, they put them in, and, you know, talking about, they're talking about each one of these kids that it comes across the border without parents, they're costing this system anywhere from $50,000 to $100,000 a year, and some of them drastically more. So, you take into account, how much money that is just taken out of our monetary system. I mean, that's one phase of, the attack that's coming against us. Then you take the sickness and disease that they're bringing with them across the borders. I mean, and they place them into, they've got churches, they've got different buildings, they've got shelters, they've got, public school systems that they've been putting them in, and you think about that. And, It'd just be nice to know, where they're coming from, how they're getting there, You know, and, you know, because there's those that are providing them, that are getting them to our southern border, I guess it'd be Mexico's northern border, and, you know, providing them with shoes and providing them with, you know, and it'd just be one of those things that it'd sure be nice to figure out who all the enemies are on this front. But it's, I encourage you to look at that. When you see these pictures and stuff, look at their shoes, look at the clothes that they're wearing, and see, do they look like they've traveled 100 miles in the desert? You know, they don't look like they've traveled 5 miles in the desert. You know, and a lot of them couldn't have made it 5 miles in the desert, let alone, you know, traveled hundreds of miles by foot, which is what they're all claiming, that they've traveled, you know, hundreds of miles, hundreds and hundreds of miles by foot, and they've been on these long journeys. And
was there an airstrip close?
Just. Yeah, that'd be nice to know too. I bet I guarantee.
Seeing how
there
the
is.
Abomination is flying them in from South America.
Yeah, and I think you'd reported a while back, Jason, on something similar to this happening, or maybe it was just up on the SFA Newswire, but about the our government, we get these illegal alien invader children in. And then our government goes and flies their parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and everybody else in from these South American countries. Instead of sending the children back, we go and fly their family back in.
Yep.
I thought we had something on that here not too long ago.
Yeah, we did.
It's just insanity.
Yeah, and it's just...
Absolute insanity.
Yeah, absolutely.
Locus of Joel.
Well...
Yeah.
If you can call it insanity, and it is to a sane person, but to an insane government and something that's out of control trying to destroy God's country, it's war. I think that best describes it. It's war.
Yes.
Creatures of instinct to be captured and killed.
So I don't know. I thought that was pretty interesting, just because and right now, basically what the Border Patrol is saying is they're preparing for the upcoming wave to hit, and so it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Something to keep, you know, praying about too. You know, I mean, and I've been praying. I prayed against them this morning. Just, you know, keep them out. You know, I mean, if we've got the prophecies that are found in. You know, Ezekiel, around Ezekiel 33, and I believe that, you know, that we will still see those in this land once again, or not once again, but I think we'll see it. I think it's something that's been yet to come, and that's when, you know, it says we're going to spend 7 months burying the dead, and it says that, you know, after those things that take place in there in Ezekiel, that our Heavenly Father is going to put a ring of fire around his land, and... you know, and basically protect it, if you paraphrase it, you know, and all the nations of the world are going to know that that's his land. And I don't think we've seen that yet.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah. Amen. The people better get ready to see it, though, is the thought that occurs to me.
I think people need to constantly be preparing for it. I mean, you're never going to, it's one of those things that no matter what you do, there's always going to be one more thing that you know, it's like sometimes when you're getting to go on a trip and you're packing for a trip, it's like, you know, sometimes you pack for a trip and you're just, you know, you'll be gone for a day or two, and other times you're going to be gone for a long period of time, and, you know, you try to think of everything that you're going to need, and if you wanted to take everything that you thought you were going to need, you'd never have enough room. I mean,
that's
just the way it is. Especially when you try to prepare for things. It's like, well, if I have a flat tire, if this happens, well, if it's cold out, it's one thing. If it's hot out, it's another thing. I mean,
yes.
You know, you try to be prepared, but it's like, man, there's only so much room in this car. How much stuff can I pack? I mean,
absolutely.
You know, sometimes I got to stop and think about, well, you know, it's like, especially when I'm going to work on something or trying to. You know, the other day I had to, some people called me and they were broke down on the north end of Fort Collins, and I said, well, what do you need? Well, I don't know. And it's like, oh, great. You know, because then it's like, well, I better take, you know, my quarter-inch kit, and I better take my jumper cables, and I better take, I better go ahead and throw a wrench set in, and, well, I better grab my socket set. You know, and it's like, where do you stop? You know, if you don't know what the problem that you're going to have, how do you prepare accordingly for it? And, Clay was over here. He was helping me. He's just laughing at me. He's like, I think we should just take the jumper cables, and if they need more than that, you know, tell them to call a tow truck. And, it's something that we've constantly got to be preparing for.
Yes.
And making adjustments for. And, you know, you do the best you can, you know, but the thing is that you try.
Amen. Amen. And there's a physical preparation that hopefully the people are doing. You know, we're all trying to be physically prepared. But, you know, there's a spiritual preparation that we have to make sure that we're ready, or that we're doing our best to be spiritually prepared as well. You know, reading our Bible. Doing the things. When we're convicted of things that we read in that Bible, and that's one of the reasons for reading it, is not just to have some interesting stories that my children are going through, and part of their school they read through the Bible, and they're reading through the Old Testament like we are in this Bible reading plan. And my son George said yesterday, he says, you know, Dad, he said, there's some really interesting stories in that Old Testament. and there are. But, you know, part of it is that when we read the Word, that, you know, we're convicted of the Word. We're convicted by the Word, maybe is the right way to say it. That, you know, hey, when we read of David doing something, or Saul, or whatever it may be, Gideon, you know, maybe that applies to something we're doing in our life on the good side, on the proper obedience type thing. And, you know, then we can know that, hey, we exhibit that characteristic. We've done that. So we see in the Word, and that lets us know that, you know, maybe it's forgiveness, whatever it may be, that you know, we're doing spiritually what we're supposed to do. But when we read it also, and, you know, maybe we read something that you know, somebody did that wasn't too pleasing to God, and if it convicts us that we've done it in our life, well, don't get mad at the Word. Listen to the Holy Spirit when it speaks to you. This is the Word of God we have before us. You know,
amen.
I mean, you know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh, and we have that Word in front of us. And so if you're reading through your Bible, or if you hear somebody else read it to you, you hear a scripture and it convicts you, or you get mad at it or something, well, see that for what it is. See that maybe that's God trying to say, you know, hey, you're not quite ready yet. You're not prepared for what's coming. You know, and so you may need to grab another toolkit. You may need to change this in your life. You may need to make sure you're doing a little more on this side and a little less over there to be ready for what's coming. And as we need to be physically prepared, we need to be spiritually prepared as well. And I think part of that just comes to mind is, you know, when we read His Word, the more you read His Word, the more you can learn of the character of God, you know, what pleases Him and what displeases Him. And I think that's one of the ways to be prepared for what's coming. You know, Jason, you talk about getting, you know, hey, trying to be prepared for a trip. You know, the more trips you take, the better prepared you can be. You know, we think so anyway. I think of, you know, the years that we've, you know, packed for Branson and packed for the summer camps we used to have and things like that. And yeah, it seems like the trailers got bigger and bigger, you know, to try to have everything that we thought we might need. But, you know, as time goes on, and you make more trips, you get a little better at that. You can be a little better prepared the more experience you have. And I think it's like that on the spiritual sense as well. Is, the more, the more we can be in His Word, the more we can study His Word, the more we can have, iron sharpening iron, and having good fellowship with like-minded Christians, well, that kind of gives us practice in preparing, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I had an encouraging week this week. There's a group of us that our children attend a Christian school, and God's put us together with a bunch of good God-fearing men, somewhat deceived being in Judeo-Christianity, but He's given me the opportunity to share truth with them. And, first you got to give them the milk before you give them the meat. And we had Bible study this week. It's just like a typical Israelite. We used to meet for several weeks when one of the men's wife had cancer, and I told you that story about how she had stage 3 cancer, basically, and when she had the surgery that they'd got the cancer cells and tumors out of her, and it was had all the fingers and everything that typically there's no way that it wasn't malignant. And to their amazement, that when they tested it, that the cancer was dead, and that's what we had prayed and cursed. And
amen.
And she went into the hospital, and she had that prayer cloth clinging in her hand, and they said, "Well, you can't take that in there." And she says, "Well, then I'm not going in there." And she still has that prayer cloth, and she still clings to it because there's still, there's reminders of it, I'm sure, the pain, here and there. But she's standing on the promises that by His stripes she is healed. But anyways, what I was saying was got together, I think it about 12 men, and basically just within a few days from when we decided to have these prayer breakfasts, and it really... pretty much puts a tear in your eye when you see at 6 o'clock in the morning 12 men there on time sitting around a table because they're hungry and thirsty for the Word and for the truth. And they asked me to bring a message the first time. And I told them, I said, man, no one knows the day or the hour, not even the Son, but only the Father. And I said, what if I don't make it to next Tuesday? I said, what was the one thing I could probably teach you men that would be most beneficial to you? And I brought just a short message on Ephesians and talked about the first 5 chapters, and then got into the 6th chapter and basically taught them about the full armor of God and how, they're the covering for their wives and their children. And if they don't take this seriously, don't be surprised if you wake up some morning and you don't have a wife and children, and how the devil roams like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And what's interesting is a lot of these men, although they've claimed to be Christian all these years, they never heard it before. And one of the men particularly struggles with his battle with Christianity and his old life, like we all did at one point. And part of his problem is he hasn't seen the truth regarding baptism. But I got a feeling there's going to be a whole lot more baptisms in that pool here this year, because a lot of these men are starting to realize the importance of that. So I'm praising God.
Amen.
But we planted the seed, and I can see that it's growing. And they say, well, how do you memorize all these scriptures? How do you understand these things in the Bible? And I said, well, the first thing you got to do is be obedient to His command to be baptized, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And they're like, that makes sense. But anyways, long story short, I'd seen his wife the other day, I saw his wife the other day, and she come up and she gave me a big hug, and it was like a hug, like a thank you hug, like I love you hug, and it was because her husband came home and he said, you wouldn't believe what we talked about today, and he was so excited, and boy, it just really makes you feel good.
Amen.
And, I was telling them, too, I said, isn't it like a typical Israelites when all we do is pray when we need something? But, there's no shortage of things to pray for or to pray against these days. And these prayer meetings are critical.
Amen. They are. In a Bible reading,
that was my story of good news this
week.
Amen.
You know, in our Bible reading that we have today in 2 Samuel 22, verse 26 says, "With the kind, you," meaning God, capital Y, "you show yourself kind. With the blameless, you show yourself blameless." And see, that's how God is made manifest to the remnant, is through his people. You know, with the kind, you show yourself kind. And it's through things like that's how our people that haven't become Christian yet, but that are still our people, still his people, that's how they see it. Well, guys, the phone line's ringing this morning. It's about halfway through the broadcast. Let me get some buttons pushed, and we'll bring on a caller. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Hey, good morning. Caller, are you there? Got the button pushed. Yeah?
Guess not.
Maybe not. Have to call back. Got a text here from my brother Gary down in Florida. He says, "There is power in the blood." Good morning, Wranglers.
Amen. Thanks, brother Gary.
Yeah. And they've been listening. He says, his wife says, "Yeah, the bigger the kid, the bigger the suitcase. So, yes, your luggage load got larger every year. Ha ha." Yeah. I'm sure you're seeing that too, Jason, from, several years ago when you wanted to take off on a trip, you just grab a bag and go. And now with a wife and children, it takes a little bit longer to get ready, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, some of us have to put roof carriers on, and some of us have to pull trailers.
Yes.
Different phases of life.
That's right. That's right.
But it's all good. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
It is. Absolutely. It is. Well, the phone lines are open. Hopefully. Hey, hopefully we'll get another caller. 307-745-5913. I want to encourage you to go to our network website as well, sfawbn.com. There's several interesting items you can see there. One is our complete broadcasting schedule. You can see what played when. A lot of our mail that comes in is along those lines. Hey, I heard a broadcast at 3 a.m. back on the 5th. Can you send me that message? And that's what we do. We go to that schedule and look on 3 a.m. on the 5th and see what played. And we're glad to do that. But we just want you to know that that's a resource that you, the remnant, have out there as well. And you go back to 3 a.m. on the 5th, and if it's one of the pastor's messages, you can click right there and listen to the message again, right there at sfawbn.com. Or if you want to order a CD of the message, the majority of them have them, you can click right there, and Jason's got the website set up where it just takes you right to the cart, and you can order that CD as well. And so we do what we can to have that those resources available to you, available to share with others, as you heard of John sharing the Word of God with others earlier. And so we have that set up for you. And then also the SFAW Newswire is up there at sfawbn.com. And there's always interesting news articles up there. I'd seen one just earlier this week that highlighted and talked about the dangers of GMO, the genetically modified organisms, the GMO link, and the link with it and Roundup with cancer. And very interesting, two-page article. It's a link there, and two pages full of truths that many of our people just don't know.
Brother Paul in Michigan is in that kind of business and made up his mind a long time ago that he wasn't going to sell poison anymore, and researched and found, or actually the Lord brought him to a company that believes in biblical fertilization and following the laws of God, and he was able to bring that guest speaker, which was extremely enlightening.
Yes, it was. Very good. It was. I caught some of that broadcast. And so so we encourage you. You know, we don't always get to talk about those type things on these broadcasts, but we do encourage you to go to that website. Take a look at there's information there that you can look at, that you can glean and get some very important truths. You know, God made his people to be an agricultural people. You think he created all the agriculture. You think he kind of knows how things ought to be? And you know, when we go changing those things, genetically modifying, you know, it sure seems to me that's a way of playing God. And it may yield a good yield of crop that first or second year, but you know, it's not that the farmer's making a lot of money on it, but the geneticist is, the seed companies are, and you know, we're building more and more hospitals across this land, more and more doctors, and it's not because we're a healthier people. And so we encourage you, take a look at news articles like that, especially regarding that GMO. And, you know, it's springtime here. If at all possible, you know, be planting gardens. The Bible tells us to do that, even in captivity, even in Babylon, to build homes, to plant gardens, to raise families, and, you know, to occupy until he returns. And hey, it's springtime, and so hopefully you're doing that. If you're in an environment that you can, even if it's just some tomatoes in a window box, but you know, do that. Plant gardens, grow what you can. It's an excellent teaching that you can do with your children, and it's a lot healthier as well. So
I'll tell you what. After listening to that broadcast, I texted Jason and I said, time to build a greenhouse, a big one.
Yeah.
and I believe it. I really do. I really think it is time to build a greenhouse. And Lord willing, I'm going to pursue that direction.
Well, 307.
I don't know if you guys...
745-5913 is the number. Didn't mean to interrupt you, John. Go ahead.
Let's see. Looking at... a story here from 1993 that never aired until last Sunday about this man, Bernard Coffendaffer, and it's a really unique story. I encourage you to look it up if you can. But anyways, just 2 days before CBS was supposed to air this story, this man passed away. And he's from West Virginia, was a coal man originally, made most of his money in oil, had a heart attack, and said the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, I want you to erect crosses all across this country. And he sold it. He cashed in his life insurance policy, and he cashed in his retirement, and he sold everything he had, pretty near $3 million, much to his family's dismay, and put up 1,842 sets of three crosses, two smaller crosses on the side and one big cross in the middle. All the center one is painted like gold or yellow, and then the other two were painted white. And I guess they just aired it here several days ago, but now it appears that another lady from, I think she's from Alabama, has taken up that pursuit of what he was doing. And there's a place in Mississippi, a seafood place. I guess this guy's done really well. And he's erecting a 110-foot cross with 64-foot-wide arms, weighing 25 tons. And he says, yeah, people call me crazy, but they call Noah crazy, too. And so I just thought it's pretty neat. If you get a chance, you should look it up. And there's a short video too on that, and it's quite a story, and it's convicted me too. I've told several men before that my plan was to put up crosses up there on the ranch, right there on Highway 230. And I know a brother in Nebraska that is in the mobile home business, and those frame rails could make mighty fine cross. So
might have to get a
truckload of those sent out here. And we got some welding brothers on this ministry as well.
Yes,
one right here local, and our brother Guy, who's just moved up further up into Wyoming welding, and just may have to call upon them and let's just do it. So, Lord willing, keep that in your prayers too. There's an attack on Christianity all across this country, and you can see even these crosses that are on the side of the road. You know, we've battled that before. The cross where my brother Monty died, and the only way we kind of rectified that was to put a cross brace on a fence post, and there wasn't much they could do about that. But
yeah. And that one's still there.
Yep, amen. And every time I go by it, I take my hat off and I say, Lord Jesus, avenge the blood of my brother.
Amen. Amen. If you joined us last Sunday, you heard a new communion song. If you joined us last Sunday for church, it's not a new song, but it was new with us doing it. We'd done it years and years ago, but hadn't done it since Paul, Shane, and I has been around, and it was called, and it's called Near the Cross. Jason brought an excellent communion message, and that's one of the things that we are to do. You know, there's a line in the song that says, Jesus, keep me near the cross. You know, when we look at that cross, you know, that cross in Roman days was a sign of shame in those days. That was about the worst thing that they could do to you, was crucify you on a cross. And they did the absolute worst thing they could do to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But what the world meant for shame has become a sign and a symbol of hope and of life. And the enemy hates the cross. Part of the enemy do all they can. Part of the enemy keeps Christ on the cross. But let me tell you, he's not on that cross anymore.
Amen.
He came off that cross, and he's not in that tomb anymore. He sits at the right hand of God, and you can flip over to the back of the book if you want and kind of see what it's going to be like when he comes back. When he returns, and we talked a little bit earlier about, you know, being ready for that. When he returns, it's not as a babe going to be as it was when he came the first time, as a babe in the manger, with, you know, no crib for a bed, and coming to take away the sins of the world. He's already done that. We read about that. And in order to do that, in order to pay the penalty, in order to have the blood shed, that without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sins, the Bible says, he had to die the worst death that there could be, the worst the world had for him. And that was the beating and the crown of thorns and to be crucified on a cross. And he did that. That's done. Now, when he comes back the next time, well, it's riding a white horse, and it's with a flaming sword, and it is to rule and reign with a rod of iron. And if you don't like that part of Jesus Christ, just flip over to Revelations and get your Sharpie marker and mark those scriptures out, or just rip that page out of your Bible. If you don't like that part of God Almighty, if you don't like that part of your loving Savior. See, the world worships a long-haired, hippie, peace-loving, dope-smoking, sandal-wearing Jesus now, but that's not the Jesus Christ of the Bible. And we know that the majority of the remnant, at least those that have come out of Babylon, they understand that. You know, but we all have friends and family that don't. You know, John, I would imagine those men that you meet with are probably, many of them, that's what they picture in their mind of this peace, love, brother, love. That's how so many of our people picture Christ. He did come preaching peace. He did come in the name of love. But he's coming back. And, you know, you can read here in 2 Samuel again, you know, it says, "The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. He has recompensed me," there in 2 Samuel 22. That's King David talking. And we read those same phrases in Revelation that, hey, he's returning to recompense the wicked, to reward the wicked, and to give them their reward. And to us as well. And you don't want the reward of the wicked. And so the world hates that cross. But to us, it's a sign of salvation. I like that cross you just texted over, John. That's from Brother Josh, you said?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that one you put up?
I got mine.
Oh, man.
Amen.
Oh, I like that.
And Brother Tim texted me, too. He says, "We got them, and you can have them." He's talking about the frame rails. So
praise the
Lord. We're going to have to do that.
Praise the Lord. Hey, and I got a part on the tractor fixing, putting it back today that's got the auger on it, so we're ready to go. Hey, we got time. Let's take another phone call this morning. Hey, good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. Got to make sure you turn your radio off.
Turn your radio off.
Radio's off.
All right. Good morning.
All right. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. God bless you. I'm Kevin. Hi. I was interested in that cross story John brought up. I know the story behind that. That was a gentleman down in West Virginia.
Yep.
Built over 2,000 of those sets of crosses. He made a fortune in a clean coal technology washing process.
And oh, okay.
He decided he would invest all that money in that project to plant those all over the world if he could. And a couple notes about it because I got interested in it, not because of him, not because of anything else. Along Interstate 77 goes through Ohio, north and south, goes to Florida. There's quite a few of them. And he went back, he went out somewhere in the 80s, I believe, and had those permissions given on different people's properties. He sought them out so he could put those three crosses. And the colors, yeah, right, the middle one's blue and a 2R. I'm getting them mixed up now.
Yeah, one's yellow. It's yellow or gold.
Well, they're gold. They're golden or two rough and egg blues, because what I did, I kept noticing them. I mean, I've noticed them all along. But then about 5 or 6 years ago, I became interested at their poor condition. I researched it out. The woman that runs what's still left of them to maintain them and so forth is named Sarah Abraham. I've talked to her many times down in Mississippi.
Yeah, crosses across America.
Crosses across America. Her name's Sarah Abraham. She's married to a black guy. And she's just a real nice lady to talk to. I called her because I wanted to know if I could get permission to go out and paint them. So I did. She not necessarily give me permission. I said, "Can you give me identifications of people who own these?" Because when you see them on the road, they're out in a field or on hilltop and so forth in these hills of Ohio. So I did that for her, and then I went up and I tried to contact people. I ended up painting about a half a dozen of them.
No, that's awesome.
That's great.
What I did, I went to Sherwin Williams, had the guys match me up some paint, and I bought the paint, my stuff. I ended up hiking up hills and contrary places to get my truck into. I popped a tire here and so forth, and but the run down of the people that own the land after it changed hands over so many years, so it was very hard. It was a real fight. I went mile after mile after mile, couldn't get owners or denied permission to get there and so forth, and don't want to wear a story out, but it's interesting. The man, I can't think of his name that did it, he was devoted to it. He had a project in mind. He wanted to find oil in Israel. He was spending money to explore in Israel. He knew that they'd find oil in Israel. There's one story I can tell you. Most, no one will know. And I had this funny feeling about the cross and the cross and so forth. I found out that he he buried a mitre in the middle, by the middle cross on every one of those projects. You know, the coinage of Christ's time, a mitre. So it was really something to go do for one. I lost my impetus for it for some reason. I probably had the time to do more of them. And I noticed that was also on one of your DVDs one time back when there was a set of those three crosses on one of the views you have out there around Wyoming. And I still want to paint some more. But Sarah Abraham, she's a good girl. But they're all for the country of, you know, the big sandbox over there.
Right.
But it's a good reminder. I love the reminder. But
yeah, his name was Bernard Coffendeffer.
Yeah, that's him. Yeah, that's him.
Yeah, you still got your radio on.
Just getting some feedback here.
Oh, I'm sorry, it's my phone. It's not my radio.
Okay. Oh, okay.
I live in the hills. I don't know what it is. Sometime about the reception here. I hope it's better.
Yeah, well, that's better.
Hope, you get some good input about this, but the feature about it being them being out there. And people's eyeballs having to hook up on them. They really stand out in some very good geographic positions. And
yeah.
Awesome.
I read the story. He basically approached people that had locations close to busy highways and owned private property because, you know, God must have given him the foresight to understand that at some point these were going to come under attack. And these people gladly allowed him to erect these crosses on the property. Now, I don't know if that's the case anymore as people have fallen further and further away from God, but...
Yeah, they're not maintaining them anymore. They're twisting, they're turning, they're splitting, they're all kinds of things. I got up on, and I would really have the time to do repairs to them. I would get them painted out. I had one preacher down here in Cambridge, and I had denied me access to his. His three of them sitting in a yard, and he's on a crossroads of I-70 and I-77, three of them sitting right there, and I asked him if I'd come in and paint him, and he wouldn't let me. And they're going bare, you know.
That's
so,
too bad.
What a mix, Lord Almighty.
Thanks. Well, that'd be a good thing to start up, maybe GoFundMe for erecting crosses across America again and fulfill what Bernard Coffendeck started many years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, and maintaining them right now, there's still quite a few out there. I mean, there's lots of them out there, and they're just falling apart. They're really falling apart.
Well, appreciate the
call.
Thank
you very much.
Thank you, Kevin.
God bless you.
And you.
Thanks.
Always good to hear from Kevin. He's been on the ministry for a long time.
Yeah, we'll have to make sure they shut those speaker phones off, because that was really, as soon as you shut that speaker phone off, it solved the problem.
Right. Yeah, you have to remember that, caller. You have to make sure if you do call in, you have your phone... just said some, you know, many people listen. I listen many times on my iPhone, but boy, if you call in, you have to make sure you turn that part of it off, and just talk softly into the phone. Usually, if we have problems, it's because someone's talking a little too loud. Well, guys, we're kind of wrapping up here. Got about 5 minutes left. Didn't know if you wanted to share anything with the remnant. We'll sure invite him to church before
we
wrap up.
Yeah, I wanted one more story that I wanted to cover real quick. Pretty interesting, and kind of one of those things that got through under the radar. I posted it on the Newswire this morning, but it's called Louisiana Makes It Illegal to Use Cash to Buy Used Goods. And basically it was a bill that just got through. It was House Bill 195, and basically hardly anybody even knew that it was... that it got passed, and it basically got passed this last year, and it makes it illegal to use cash to buy used goods. These people that are just finding out that have trading posts and antique stores and deal in used goods are finding out that every transaction that they make when they accept cash for a used good is an illegal transaction. And you know, it's just, you know, it's been one of those things is people have, you know, they tend to think that, you know, you can use cash for anything, you know. And so, you know, what's behind this? But basically, it's just another thing of going towards a cashless society and making cash worthless.
Right.
But I thought that that was pretty interesting, and it's, I thought it was just bizarre that they picked an area like Louisiana to try it out on.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I know we don't watch a lot of TV, but I've seen commercials in the past where they've done that. You know, they show a big, it's like a big cattle line. People are coming through, whether it's a coffee shop or a sandwich shop, and everybody steps forward. They, you know, they get their product, they hand them the card, swipe, they step away. The next person steps up, they get their product, they hand them the card, swipe, and it's just nice and smooth and hip and happening, and then somebody, the next person in line has cash. And it's, the whole system just stops. You know, the person behind the counter doesn't know what to do, and it's taking forever, and everybody in line is, what's going on up there? And you're right, Jason, it's part of, I think it's part of their plan to get to a cashless society. Wow, starting in Louisiana, who would have ever thought?
Well, when it's all electronic, then they can control your ability to buy and to sell. And if you look now, there's people checking in at the airports with their cell phone. I don't know how, but somehow.
Hey, you know, I got to confess a sin. It says we're to confess our sins to our brothers. You know, I've gone to movies lately. Well, not in the last 3 months, but before that. And I've done that. Gone on, bought tickets online, had them send it to my phone. And when you get to the movie theater, you walk past the big line that's there. Well, it was to see American Sniper, so and had the tickets on my phone and show it to the guy. So maybe that's the same type of sin, John. I don't know.
Oh, you had it on your phone?
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, well,
better invite people to church.
Yep, we do want to do that. Come to church with us tomorrow. You don't have to get up and get dressed. You don't have to drive down to LaPorte, just turn your computer on. Go to scriptures4america.org. 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast. And join us for church. You know, we're told not to forsake the assembly, as has become the habit of some. And you may live out there and think that you're all alone, you're the only one thinking this way, but it was our pastor's wishes. We were streaming live church so that you, the remnant, could join us on Sunday morning before I think anybody else in the country was. Oh, there's many churches that would record and send their recording down to play on the public access or something later in the day. But I think this was given to the pastor years ago for us to do this for you, the remnant. So take advantage of that. Join us. 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, noon on the East Coast, at scriptures4america.org. Right there on the home page, click on the live video stream. Join us for church tomorrow. It'll be a blessing to you. Well, guys, thanks for joining us. Thank you, callers. And we'll see you at church tomorrow, guys.
Rolling, 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 rolling. Rollin', 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rollin', 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rollin' over, stay high. Fast and free together, make 'em hell's and forever. Knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move 'em out, head 'em off, head 'em off. Move 'em out, move 'em out, head 'em off, stake high.
Ride 'em out, ride 'em more, ride 'em more, ride 'em out. Ride 'em out, ride 'em more,
stake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more, snake high.
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, barking will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake hide.